it's Bruins Benders live post game after game one. Bruins and the Maple Leafs. Bruins take game one with a convincing 5-1 win. It's Maddie and Smitty, and it's presented to you by Inside the Rink. And thanks for joining us on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. Smitty, I'll tell you what, I was surprised. I was surprised at this performance. I was a little uneasy, as you know, about coming into this series. I picked them to lose in seven, and then you yelled at me, so I went back to win in six. Yep. But this was just such a good effort. And you heard about, you know, the stuff about practice and Monty's getting on them, and do you want to win a series, he yells out in practice, and you just think, how is this going to play out? Toronto has a lot of motivation to beat you, and they come out and just, I mean, they just kind of beat Toronto like a drum.
They did. The very first shift or two, it looked like the Bruins were a little nervous. And then a couple of big hits. Maroon laid some hits early. Carlo was physical. And that seemed to get them kind of into the game. They withstood some early push from Toronto. Swayman made a couple of saves early. And then they kind of found their legs and found their game. And they were very, very good for most of the game. There was a couple of little lapses there. The end of the first, Lindholm takes a penalty where he probably could have eaten the puck in the corner. And that leads to what I thought was the turning point in the game. The Bruins get a goal in the first on a great 2-on-1. Maroon chips it up the boards and springs Boqvist and Beecher on a 2-on-1. Boqvist makes a great saucer pass to Beecher, who goes back against the grain and beats Samsonov. And, you know, that got the Bruins off and running. And they played really well in the first. And then at the end of the first, Lindholm has the opportunity to kind of eat the puck along the boards. He doesn't do it. He takes a penalty because the Bruins can't get the puck out of the zone. Marner has it in front. Lindholm cross-checks him down. And it was already a 4-on-4 situation because McAvoy and Domi had gotten mixed up in front of the net. So the beginning of the second period, the Bruins have to kill off a 4-on-3. And Swayman makes some huge saves in that. Mm-hmm. Carlo makes some good defensive plays, and they kill it off. And I think that was the turning point in the game. There was another spot a little later in the period where Matthews kind of beats Swayman to a puck and hits the post. And after that, you're like, oh, it's not really the Maple Leafs night.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And then right after that, Carlo gets the goal to make it 2-0. But it was nice to see on a night when David Pastrnak, wasn't great, didn't do much out there. He had a couple of shots on net, and that was about it. But it was good to see, like, the fourth line coming through with a goal. And then Brandon Carlo, you know, a non-scoring defenseman, scores a goal. And then, you know, it was good to see Jake DeBrusk, who's been really good against the Maple Leafs in the past in the postseason, scores a couple of power play goals. And that was the underlining we talked about in the episode. You know, the Bruins were 30% success rate on the power play against the Maple Leafs this season. And even though they've been pretty dreadful the last month of the year on the power play, that was kind of a key point coming in. And they scored power play goals tonight, two of them. And I thought moved the puck really well. I think Monty using the top line of Heinen, Zacha, Pastrnak as a unit has really helped the power play because they have a lot of chemistry together. They get some shots and some chances on net. And, I just thought it was a really great effort from the entire team and all the secondary scoring questions we've had coming in. I mean, this was really good to get Frederick on the board, to have Carlo on the board, to have Beecher on the board. And, you know, Beecher's a guy that we didn't know if he would be in the lineup. And so that it's really good that they get an all-around victory. And I thought that Maroon set the tone early. 6 hits on the night, you know, led the game with hits in his 11 and a half minutes. But he kind of set the tone there early. And then, of course, the good pass ahead and then the play by Boqvist and the fourth line gets you going. And it was kind of, they just kind of went from there.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the fourth line really that got them going. The Beecher goal you know, the great play by Maroon to get it out of the zone. Maroon with six hits. Beecher had three hits. He won a lot of faceoffs. He was good on the penalty kill. He had three shots on net. He was all around it. Boqvist used his speed on the forecheck, and they really caused problems, I thought, with their physicality and the way they forechecked down low, causing mistakes by the Toronto defense. And it allowed them to sustain pressure in the offensive zone. I thought one of the best shifts of the night was late in, in the third, after Toronto had kind of turned and given a big push there to start the third. They had scored the goal. They kind of had the momentum. And then the geeky Frederick Lauko line comes out, geeky with a huge hit on Robertson. They turn the puck over. They sustain pressure in the offensive zone, and Lauko ends up, someone takes a penalty on Lauko, and the Bruins go on to the power play, and then they could kind of settle down, and they kind of regained it in the third period from that point on. And it was, you know, not to say a cakewalk, but they really controlled the play for the second half of that third period after that shift by the third line, which, you know, those two lines really played an important part in how the Bruins kind of set the tone from the very beginning.
And the other thing was the faceoff dot. I mean, the Bruins won. The Bruins were able to win 57% of the faceoffs. It was Johnny Beecher who did a really good job. He actually won a draw late in that first period, that sequence that you talked about, wins the draw with 11 seconds left. They somehow don't clear the puck, and there's another shot on goal. I mean, that end of period there, we've seen in the past where the Bruins give up a goal there.
Yeah.
And to give up a goal there, to tie it at one after they played a really good period, would have really changed this game, I thought.
Yeah, it would have been disastrous.
It was terrific.
It was. It would have been disastrous.
Disastrous.
If they had given up a goal there. And that's why I thought the turning point of the game was really killing off that 4-on-3 at the beginning of the second, because he was really good. If they can't kill that off, it's a 1-1 game. The Bruins had had all the momentum, all the pressure, had the lead. They'd hit two posts, maybe three posts up until that point with really good looks on the power play and didn't have much to show for it. And if Toronto had been able to get a goal at that particular time in the game, I really think the game could have changed. But, you know, they withstood it. Swayman was excellent. And then they get the big goal by Carlo to extend the lead.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big sequence there. And then, of course, you know, getting a couple of power play goals and kind of stretching the lead. And then the Leafs, you know, I thought that another factor was Auston Matthews. I mean, he lost 13 faceoffs in this game. He was at 27%. I mean, he only won 5 out of 18. So they kind of owned him there. Matthews had 5 shots on net. He had some chances, but Swayman was up to the task. Now, choosing Swayman, I thought, was basically the Bruins saying, here's the numbers, 3-0 on the season against Toronto, 950 save percentage, whatever it was.
Yep.
You know, going with the numbers, that way you can't, if you're scrutinized for it, then you can just say, here are the numbers, here's the data. This is why we went with the decision. So it was the safe kind of play, even though Allmark had played well and better than Swayman for much of the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think so. I think they did go by the numbers and Swayman's, you know, ability to play well against the Leafs. It was his first start to start a series since he's been with the Bruins. And he shined, man. He was really good. There was a few times early on where I think he was still kind of getting his feet wet, where he gave up a couple of rebounds, but the Bruins were on those pucks and were able to clear, and then he kind of settled in. But he was very, very good in this game, you know, especially in the moments where he really had to be. You know, we keep talking about it, but that 4-on-3, he made some huge saves down low to keep the Bruins in the lead at that point. And then, you know, the Bruins were able to stretch out the lead and then put it away with some power play goals by DeBrusk. I thought DeBrusk was the best player on the ice by far, like head and shoulders above everyone else. Who are your three stars for the Bruins in this one?
Well, obviously one DeBrusk. You know what? I'd give second star. I'd probably go with Swayman. And then three, I might go with like Carlo. I thought Carlo was really good.
Those were mine.
Really good. I mean, in the penalty kill, and I'll tell you what, he's that good matchup against Matthews.
He is.
You know, and he caused some problems for Matthews today and got sticks in the way. And he's good at that thing. Like, he's good at playing against, you know, the sort of the bigger type superstar players. He matches up size wise. He has good stick reach, you know, and that type of thing. Causes some problems for players like Matthews. And I thought he was really good.
I agree. Those would have been my three stars, probably in that same order: DeBrusque, Swayman, and Carlo. I thought all of them were excellent. I thought DeBrusque was magnificent. He had his legs going. He was all over the place, back checking, fore checking, causing havoc with his speed. And then, you know, obviously potting a couple of goals is huge for him, for his confidence, for the team's confidence. And hopefully this is the start of a hot streak for him that continues deep into the playoffs.
I'll tell you what, we almost called it a little bit.
Yeah.
And one of the, in the last episode there, we said like DeBrusque has been, you know, he went sort of quiet for a while, but mm-hmm. then he was due to get going again. He scored a goal late in the year, and then you could kind of see his game coming back. And that's how he operates, mm-hmm. you know. And once he comes back, and of course, this is a great matchup for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves to play against Toronto.
He does.
Like, this is a really good matchup for him. Here's another guy I thought was pretty good, was Grzelcyk.
Grzelcyk was good.
And we've talked about Grzelcyk in this matchup. Mm-hmm. This is a decent one for him.
It is.
Like Florida, Carolina, you know, I don't know, Rangers, I don't know. But this one is a good one for him, and I thought he was pretty good.
I agree. I think this is a good matchup for him because it's more of a puck moving defenseman, use your legs, mm-hmm. Kind of a game, mm-hmm. and he's good at that. That's, you know, mm-hmm. that plays to his strength. Like you said, the heavy forecheck that you would see from Florida, Rangers, Carolina, some of those teams, maybe isn't the best for him. But in this game, he was really good. I thought Peak was really good in his first playoff action of his career. I thought he was mm-hmm. physical, stood up to guys, shut down plays, jumped up in the offense when he could, and I thought he was really good. I thought, you know, the defense as a whole played really, really well. I thought McAvoy played well. He had a couple of nice assists. The pass down low on DeBrusque's second goal through the seam to Marchand was a thing of beauty, like a chef's kiss. That thing was mm-hmm. was beautiful. And then Marchand with the quick one touch to DeBrusque, who mm-hmm. pounds it in from the paint. You know, so I thought the defense as a whole played really well in front of mm-hmm. them. I thought they were physical. I thought they were more physical than they have been in front of the net. There were more scrums. They engaged in the scrums, which you haven't seen and you didn't really see as much during the regular season. And maybe, you know, they've learned their lesson a little bit as far as that goes. We'll see when it gets to a more physical team if they can get by the Maple Leafs. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they've learned some lessons here that they can take forward, you know, if they can get by the Leafs.
Well, you have Wotherspoon in your back pocket if Grizzly sure. can't handle it. So that's a good move for them. And then, you know, I thought that the Toronto Maple Leafs didn't really generate a ton of offense unless the Bruins turned it over, couldn't clear it, or, yep. you know, that type of thing. I didn't think they really kind of generated. I thought the Bruins did a really good job having a, you know, their defensemen back, making it difficult for Toronto to make any plays. It was when they got a little loose on their own end is when Toronto got some chances, and then Swayman was up to the task. Okay, so game two, don't you go back with Swayman?
You do. You absolutely do.
Until
Toronto proves that they can solve the guy, I mean, right? I mean, he's 4-0 against them this year. With, mm-hmm. I mean, now it's got to be, what, 960 something. He was at a 9.7, what, today? 9.74?
9.72 today.
9.72 today. And a 9.57 or 6 during the regular season. So, I mean, until Toronto shows that they can beat Swayman consistently, you have to go back to him. 100% you have to go back to him.
Yes, you do. You know, and I agree. And I, you know, we've talked about this rotation and everything. Money's talk about the rotation. If you go to Allmark and he doesn't play great and they win game two, that just leaves it open. This is why I don't love it.
Yeah.
This is why I don't love it. because this scenario right here, you know, Toronto wins game 2-4-2 or whatever, and Ullmark, you know, has a couple that he, you know, you could use a save there, mm-hmm. as Bruce Cassidy would say, you know, that then you leave yourself open for why the hell did you do that? You know, and then you're coming back to game 3 in Toronto and they're all hopped up and momentum is switching and so forth. And I just, like you said, prove to me that you can beat Swayman, which you haven't all year. So let's just stay with Swayman. There's no back-to-back nights. Play on Monday. Then you have two nights to game 3.
Mm-hmm.
So you could ride, and then you have two more nights later in the series. So you have a couple of two-day breaks in there too. So, you know, if you go to Allmark and it doesn't work out, like, I mean, it just leaves yourself open to screwing this thing up.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to what we talked about a little bit on the last episode too with Monty. Is Monty overcoaching it? You know, is he getting in the way when he shouldn't really get in the way? Just let your guys play, and the guys that are going well, leave them in, like Swayman.
Leave them in.
So we have a comment from off of Facebook from Ryan Grimshaw, who says, "Let's just all agree the game was unreal. They were all over them in every aspect of hockey. And Maroon, what a guy." And I am with you, Ryan. Yeah. Maroon, when he put Liljegren in the bench, that got the crowd fired up. I really think that, and they actually showed him skating in warmups before the game. And this isn't really that big of a thing, but, you know, you're not supposed to cross the red line center ice onto the other team's side. And he was going right over to the red line and skating right on it. And, you know, a few little strides on the Leaf side. And I think he was probably just sending a message like, look, if you want to come over and fight me before the game even starts about this, you can. But I think he was kind of sending a message, you know, albeit a small one, to the Leafs saying, you know, this is our ice. We're going to skate where we want to skate. We're going to play where we want to play. And in order for you to take it away from us, you're going to have to fight for it. And
I agree.
And he was sending a message early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Maroon is, you know, and like our buddy Jones says, Pat Maroon is not a small human.
No, he is not. He is the big rig.
We hated his guts.
Oh, absolutely hated his guts.
And so did some of his teammates. But now, you know, everybody loves
and
him.
So did Jack.
Right, so did Jack. So did Jack Edwards. So I'm sure Maroon probably still doesn't like Jack. But the fact of the matter is, I thought he set the tone early. And he kind of gave you that, you know, a little bit of toughness. Pete does it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they made some subtle changes. I think they could still use more of a culture change in that way.
Yeah.
But they did get a couple of guys, and Wotherspoon is in there too when he's in there. They did get, two or three guys who are willing to do that and can do that and can change a little bit of the makeup of the team. You know, you're not going to get it from everyone because that's just not in their DNA, but these guys do it. And even in a short period of time, Pat plays 11 and a half minutes in six hits.
Andy set up the first goal with a great play along the boards to spring the 2-on-1. I mean, he was instrumental in them getting out and getting the lead at the beginning of the game. Another guy who does that stuff, and we haven't been the hugest fan of him throughout the course of the year, is Jacob Lauko. He was really good tonight, and I think
it was pretty good.
And he was part of the. He's one of those guys who's going to skate around and hit people and agitate and be in the mix, and that's why he's in instead of JVR. Yeah. That's why he was in because he mixes it up and he'll play a physical style. JVR is more of a, you know, a net front guy and a power play guy and doesn't have the same kind of speed. So I think Lauko gives you a little speed and he gives you a little, you know, grit and mix it up there. And I thought he was really good tonight.
And I think that I'm okay with Lauko playing if you've got Beecher in there, because Beecher's got speed and that type of thing. You know, if it's Lauko for JVR, I'm okay with that, because in this series, I don't think JVR is, I think he could be a little bit of liability. He's not a great skater anymore. He's, you know, he's kind of just a, you know, power play guy in front of the net. If he's not playing on the top power play unit, then he's probably not real valuable right now. And it's too bad, but he isn't. So I think with Boqvist, his speed, like, I'm okay with Lauko in there. And he did a pretty good job with Geeky and Frederick in there. And Geeky, I thought, played better. I mean, Geeky has had a little bit of a downswing toward the end of the year, but I think that Geeky played really well too. I think that I didn't really see anybody who really played poorly tonight. Lindholm was okay, but other than that, I think everybody kind of played pretty well tonight, and it was a pretty solid team effort.
I agree. I think it was a team effort. Throughout the whole team, I would say Lindholm of all the guys probably was down the most with the kind of the mental gaffe there at the end of the first. But other than that, I mean, he jumped up in the play, he made some solid plays. You didn't really notice him much other than that. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing. Ryan Grimshaw again from Facebook says, how about the chop Domi gave our captain? There has to be a response. And I think there will be, Ryan, but I think that will be next year. I don't think you're going to see him.
It's hard to respond in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't
want to take a penalty.
Yeah, you don't want to go down a man, especially to a Leafs team with that kind of power play, ability and firepower. So they'll take that number, and they will 100% pay him back at some point in time. And maybe it's, if the Bruins are up big in the series and they're winning big in one of the games and can close it out, maybe that's when something happens. But they really have to be smart about that, about when they want to give payback. I thought the chop that Domi gave to McAvoy when they McAvoy somehow goes for getting cross checked twice in the back of the neck.
I
feel like that should be a fine, and I mean, it won't be a suspension, I don't think, because it's the playoffs.
They might fine him.
But I feel like that should be a fine, and I have no idea how McAvoy went with Domi in that situation.
Nah,
if you get cross-checked in the back of the head, you should be allowed to at least give a gloved punch to the guy. I don't understand how that evens out at all, but it did. And those are the breaks, I guess, to playoff hockey.
I was listening on the radio at that time for a short period, and Beersy even said on the broadcast that he thought that Domi should have gotten extra. He was okay with McAvoy going because of, whatever, but
yeah,
he thought Domi should have got a little extra there because it was a little aggressive. Domi actually is going to play that villain thing.
Sure he is.
He came right out. I mean, he was going stick to stick to Marchand before the opening faceoff.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, they were kind of going at it already. And Domi's going to continue to do that this series even more and more. And I think, guy like Ryan Reeves has just been a disappointment for them. He just doesn't, I don't know what's going on there, but Domi's the guy who's going to be kind of the Rafi Torres kind of, that type of guy against the Bruins in this series that you're going to love to hate. And he's going to try to change the tone of the series. I just don't think he can do it all himself for Toronto.
He can't do it himself, but I don't know if the rest of the team really wants to play that way. Like, he plays that way.
I don't think they do.
And Bert plays that way. Those are probably the only two guys that'll be kind of an in-your-face style. Yeah. I mean, you might have some of those defensemen that want to play that way, Edmondson and so forth. But, they don't have a ton of that style of player on their team. So, Domi's kind of doing that on his own, and he's trying to draw guys into penalties. And, he did get McAvoy off the ice in a matching situation. So I guess, he has some value there, I suppose. But, if the Bruins can kind of stay away from letting him draw you into stuff and just play their game. And if you need to give the guy a smack or, whatever, they should definitely do that. Don't back down by any stretch, but they have to be smart about how they deal with him so that they don't end up shorthanded because of the Maple Leafs power play potential.
Yeah. Simon Benoit, he had 8 hits, and then McCabe had 6 hits for Toronto, and Bert had 5. But Bert, like you said, Bert would be the guy along with Domi that can kind of do that thing. But Bert doesn't want to be in the box either, and he's one of the offensive players on the team. So it'll be interesting to see what the response is from Toronto as we head to game 2. I'd like to see the Bruins stay with Swayman. I'd like to see them stay with the lineup that they had in there. not make any changes to it and just go ahead in game two. I want to see what the adjustments that Toronto is going to make in the series, especially, you know, like on the power play and, you know, cause the Bruins, you know, did a really good job on the kill. Like you said, there wasn't a lot of offense generated, you know, and this is a good 5-on-5 team in Toronto. So one of the top 5-on-5 teams in the league, you know, Matthews had 51 even strength goals.
Pretty good.
So this is a really good 5-on-5 team as opposed to Tampa, who was a really bad 5-on-5 team. So that was another kind of aspect to the series that you were worried about. And I thought 5-on-5, you know, the Bruins played really well.
They did play really well. They did. I mean, we've gone back to it a bunch of times, but it really was a total team effort. I thought,
yeah,
you know, overall, everybody played well. Everybody played well. There weren't any passengers tonight. I thought, you know, there were a few moments that, you know, they could have been better. But that's the case really in any game. But I think, you know, front to back, this is one of the Bruins' best efforts in a long time, front to back.
It was front to back. Yeah, against a really good team.
A really good team. So, you know, pretty much a full 60-minute effort. And, you know, you're going to need that. You're going to need that in the playoffs against, you know, a really good team. You know, that has that kind of offensive firepower that, you know, a couple of mistakes and it could be in your net. So, you know, it's really what it comes down to is the Bruins defense and goaltending and structure against the Maple Leafs offense. And, you know, who's going to execute better and make the plays that you need to win. And tonight it was the Bruins and it was their, you know, balanced scoring, the fourth line, you know, defense, Kylo chips in, and then they get a couple of power play goals, which has been a struggle for them, you know, the second half of the year. So all positive signs for the Bruins going into game two.
Right. And then lastly, Kevin Shattenkirk, we've talked about Wotherspoon and Shattenkirk, who to go to, and he's taken over that power play one unit. Shattenkirk plays 14 minutes tonight. He plays 5.5 minutes on the power play. And that he scored 2 goals and he has really solidified. He's another reason, not just the top line that Monty kind of threw out there as a top unit, but it's been Shattenkirk who's kind of settled that thing down, makes the right decision. I mean, he's not a hero out there. He just gets it to the right guy. He moves it quickly and they get shots on net. He doesn't try to jam it into someone, try to make a play that's not there. And he's been a veteran who's done a lot of power, you know, played a lot of power play minutes. I mean, he's an offensive type defenseman. He's getting over the hill a little bit, but in this aspect, he has really helped the team and is a really big factor in why the power play is doing much better.
100% agree. He's like a calming presence back there. He's seen it all. He doesn't get rattled. Like you said, he makes the right decisions, gets the puck to the right guys, and the power play was clicking with him out there, and it did at the end of the regular season with him out there. They just move it better. He's not going to defer to Pastrnak, force it to Pastrnak every time like McAvoy and Marchand do, and I think that was part of the reason they went to this change. They put the Zacha line out there together. They put Shattenkirk there, and they put some guys out there with Pastrnak who aren't just going to try to force feed him all the time, and it led to other really good chances. There was a play Shattenkirk walks the line to the middle, opens up the seam to Pastrnak, who goes quickly to Zacha, and he rips a bullet off the crossbar. But those kind of plays are there now because Shattenkirk can walk the line with confidence and gets the puck to the right guy when they need to do it. And it really seems to have both units now, because then McAvoy's out there with Marchand and DeBrusk. They have some chemistry and they pot a couple of power play goals. So you know, now you have both units that seem to be, you know, in a better headspace and more confidence going forward.
All right. So game two comes up Monday night, 7:00 on Nesson, TBS and Max again. And then, you have to think that Swayman's back in net. Predictions for game two. How does that play out?
I'm going to say they win game two. I think it's going to be a closer game. I'm going to say 4-2 Bruins.
4-2 Bruins. Okay. I think it might be like one of those.
Don't say overtime.
5-4 in overtime Bruins wins. Like, I think Toronto gets a little more offense. It's a little higher scoring game.
I don't want that. That's bad for my health. The overtime game is bad for my health.
For my health. I'm the one who had a hard time.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
It's bad for my health. But I think that I just see the Toronto. We've seen series, you know, ebb and flow and change direction. And last year, I mean, we've seen that game one is not necessarily going to be what happens the rest of the way. Toronto's a really good team. They'll come out with some adjustments. You have to think they'll play a little bit of desperate hockey. They can't afford to lose again to the Bruins. All that stuff plays into it. And I think that, you know, I think Toronto puts together a little bit more offense. It might be a little bit higher scoring game. And I think the Bruins win, but I think it's probably, I think they win in overtime. I think it's a, like you said, a closer game. And I think Bruins get the win and then go to Toronto up 2-0.
I hope so. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope it's a little easier than an overtime 5-4, you know, white knuckler. I'm not looking for that. Not looking forward to that. I'll be relieved and excited and fired up if they win it, though, for sure. But going back to Toronto, then you have Toronto's able to get last change. So that'll be interesting to see how those matchups go. When they get to
Bruins definitely benefited from that. At home.
When they get to Toronto eventually, but we got a lot of comments here. We got Rogue Strummer chimed in with "Love the Bees tonight. Fantastic performance. Get exactly the matchup they wanted. Good Shattenkirk is such a difference maker. Good Shattenkirk versus slow Shattenkirk.
Right, a little different.
And then even though he didn't score, Pasta actually played a physical game like his teammates. Mm-hmm. And that's true, Mr. Jones, Mr. David Ilsley. Pasta was physical tonight.
And he had four hits. And but we've talked about this. He's more physical than you think.
Yes.
Like, he is.
And he caused the turnover right at the end with a good stick that that allowed Freddie to score the empty net goal. So he did chip in there a little bit late with defensive stick position.
Right. Yeah, and Rob Spector said, why don't we have all the best players on the power play one? And I think it's because it wasn't working, and they went with the line that has the most chemistry, which is Heinen, Zacha, Pastrnak, and it's working.
I agree. I think that is the reason, and I think sometimes you need guys to play their roles rather than put all the talent out there. Because I think some of those guys tend to force to Pastrnak, and that was probably part of the problem that was holding that unit down when all the talent was out there together. So the way they have it set up now with the lines, there is a little more chemistry, and Shattenkirk's doing a great job quarterbacking that unit, and let's let them keep it rolling.
Absolutely. And as our buddy Jones would say, overtime is awesome when it's not your team.
so true.
The truth. And thank you for joining us on our overtime right here. And next Bruins Benders live post game will be Monday after Monday's game, game two, at 7 p.m. And we'll be on shortly after live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. So thanks a lot for joining us. We'll see you again Monday night. Go Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.